Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, here from the people of Box Office Breakdown. And because we love you, we're here today to give thanks to all of you by talking about some box office numbers. Let's do it.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Box Office Breakdown. Of course, this is the show where, when we're not in a nice food coma, we like to talk about the box office numbers from the weekend that was, and then we
prognosticate.
Woo!
Beautiful. About the weekend that lie ahead. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie.
And hey, how's it going? My name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
And I'm Amy Cassandra. You guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra TV. I did want to touch on something for like 2 seconds.
Well, she's doing a giveaway.
I am, so make sure you guys are following me.
Free stuff.
Free stuff. It's this. 3 free products. 3. Damn. 1, 2, 3. And I'm wearing Fly Girl by LipSense. That's what the giveaway is. Basically, you just get free LipSense and 2 more products. So make sure you guys are following me on Instagram.
I know I am. And as always, folks, you got to like us.
You don't want your lipstick to ever fade, Frank. So
right?
See?
No, it's true. Mm-hmm. I don't think mine will.
Keep no, you have a great natural color.
Thank you.
Brings out your complexion.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
You know what? You can like us on Facebook. Give us 5 stars on Instagram. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And throw a bunch of thumbs up there before you grab your lip sense and start rubbing it all over your mouth.
Whoa.
That's right.
Okay.
And feel free to
well there.
Also, hop in the chat and share your thoughts as well. We're going to have the chat up and running. But if you're watching this after we stream live, feel free to... Where can we... That camera?
Wait, can I do it? Oh, I can do it on
yes,
your screen.
Right there. Come on. Right where Carrie's pointing. Right down there.
This
absolutely.
Just feels inappropriate now.
And of course, the fourth member of our panel, the lovely, the talented, the always charming... The super cool Neil Plumley is incredibly sick. He's on death's door, everybody.
Oh,
so
stop.
No.
Stop.
He's just really sick, guys. So please text him on social media all your well wishes. Much like a fairy, he needs those social media messages to kind of bolster him, keep him going. So
also
do that.
For his dog, Rocky.
Yeah, his doggy's not feeling good either.
Yeah.
There you go.
I have to say that.
But kind of this show is going to be a little different than usual because it's a kind of quiet week looking ahead. So we won't be doing too much of any box office bets for next week because there's nothing to bet on. So
okay,
yes.
So we're all winners.
Yay!
We're all
Yay!
Winners. It's going to be like kind
of hey, Neil is with us reporting from death's door.
Oh, look at that.
What's up, Neil? Welcome.
Hey.
Look at this. So while we can't hear his voice, you'll still be able to read his lovely thoughts.
If you're in the live chat.
Only. And if you're watching this afterwards, you can still... I guess you can go back and...
It's the chat, right?
Frank, is it?
Is it?
Is it your birthday, Frank?
Frank?
Tanya, some things need to be not discussed.
Wait.
She's not the first.
What? Stop it. Oh, it doesn't say.
Check his Facebook.
Oh, my...
There you go.
Oh, my goodness.
Great,
look
guys.
At you keep y'all secret.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Justin.
Yay!
Yay! No need to dwell on that. So, gosh, thank you, everybody, for
wow,
for that.
You guys are awesome.
Good job, chat.
Yeah.
Good cyber stalking. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Not a big birthday guy. So, but thank you. Thank you, everyone. Nonetheless. Well, you know what? What better way to celebrate everything that's happening by talking about some box office numbers from
All
the weekend
right.
that was.
Sounds great.
Coming in number one, we've got Coco. Coming in for its, I know it opened up on Wednesday, but we're only going to be talking about its 3-day total.
I'm loco for Coco.
That's right. Woo! So it 49 million for the 3-day total. I believe it was 71 for the 5. So there you go. We have all seen Coco.
I don't know if we have this in our notes for later, but it was Frozen was the highest grossing at Thanksgiving time, and then Moana, and now Coco. If you're going to do the Thanksgiving weekend. So I think Frozen was at like 95. Moana is about 70-something. Sorry, I don't have the numbers in front of me, everybody. And then so Coco, that's actually pretty darn good. I'm glad
there you
it came
go.
Out
and,
number one.
You know, I think the person that's most excited about it is Stardew, though, because he, if you've been seeing him on Twitter, he has been tooting his own horn that he really nailed that prediction.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah, look at him.
Good for you. The crown. Is now yours.
Yes, some people are... Yeah, sorry, we don't have a digital crown for you all, but...
I think we're going to work and get your own Snapchat filter, where it's just a box office bet.
crown that
you can go and please take a photo of yourself wearing a virtual crown.
Although on Instagram stories or Insta stories, you can put it on yourself.
Oh.
Kind of. So if you just do a video or a picture of yourself, selfie mode, of course, and you just
hashtag
put it on
box
top.
Office breakdown so we can see
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
That's true. Tag us in there you too. Go. Yes. Wear that virtual crown, Star Drew. Wear it with pride. Yes. so there you go. Yes. So 49 million. We've all seen it.
Yes.
Yes.
I think we all have some strong opinions about some of the elements of this. So we'll start off with the one that's probably the most excited to talk about it. Probably
yeah, I am.
Which would be Anthony.
That's right. Which would be Neil Plumley, everybody. We're all going to be quietly sitting here as he types in his thoughts
no,
on the chat.
Anthony, I know. He probably excited had to.
Just puts them in the paragraph. Yeah, Anthony D. Okay. Okay, so I loved it. Probably one of my top five favorite movies of the year, for sure. I bawled my eyes out like I never have, really, with any other movie because it was so spot on. It was amazing. Even just small little things that you kind of just take for granted, texture of things and just the way it was so realistic. It was just, oh, it just hit me right in the heart, and it was beautiful. It was perfect to be able to watch it around this time of the year where you're just so overcome with emotions of like, oh, thank you. I love my family. I want to, you know, just be thankful for everything. And, yeah, I mean, I kind of wish that they would have released it a little bit sooner, closer to Day of the Dead. But
I was wondering about that.
I think it was fine, though, because this feeling of being thankful and wanting to connect with those that have passed should always kind of be, you know, in our minds. And, yeah, I think they did a really, really good job being of, like, a Hispanic household. Like I said, spot on. And there were things where I'm like, you guys. I started bawling, like, five minutes in when they showed a grandmother. Because she was so, like, I mean, I had a great aunt that looked exactly like her. So it was great. It was amazing. I have really, like, nothing bad to say. When there was a point in the movie that they took a little turn for something, and I was like, what? This is stupid. I don't get it. And then there was something else that it was like, no, this is happening. And you're like, oh, okay, then I'm okay. But, yeah, loved it. If you haven't seen it, definitely do see it. I cannot say anything bad about it. It was amazing.
Yeah. That.
I was going to say, I want Anthony to go next.
Go for it, Anthony.
He seems so excited.
First off, I just want to say I bawled my eyes out throughout the film. Like, I even did, like, the little, the deep, like, crying and breathing at the same time. Oh, my God. But
what was it that made you cry so much?
Just, like, every time I put it into perspective, you know, like, what this film meant to so many people, especially from my culture, and especially to me, like, it's such a strong feeling for that.
Representation matters,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that Pixar finally made this film for an audience that has always been there but never really in the limelight.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. And I loved just how elegant yet simplistic everything was. I love the theme, the overall theme of remembering your family and how they built a whole narrative around that, going off the backbone of what a Day of the Dead establishes for its for its traditions. The music was great as well. Mm-hmm. I really loved the Un Poco Loco.
Mm-hmm.
And just like when he started strumming that guitar, it's just so much culture within a simple act. And I loved every second of it. I gotta say it's up there. I loved Moana, but I think I love Coco a lot more than Moana.
Ditto.
I don't know if I shared my love with Moana. I have a weird love for Moana. And Coco definitely beats that out.
You know, Jody in the chat says, sorry to keep bringing this up, guys, but I wanted to see Coco, but the John Lasseter news ruined it. And I know that's coming up a lot in media right now where there is an actor or producer or whatnot attached to a company or a certain production that kind of people will kind of step aside and say, I really would not see this production just because of the news that's been coming up with them. So does that affect you guys as well? Do you see something coming up? Does that make you not want to see something that is being released because somebody that is attached to it in some fashion?
I think it depends on how involved they are with it. I think for Coco, since it is such a film about representation and showing a people, a group, a culture, it's unfortunate that anybody's not going to see it simply because of that. Mm-hmm. So I think it should be separate in that case. Yeah. I'd say it's complicated. Probably depends on each particular instance.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also because you have a lot of other people that worked really hard on that project, mm-hmm. and not giving them the credit of, like, giving them a shot, you know, of watching mm-hmm. it is a little bit unfair just because people pour their hearts and souls into a project. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, Coco's amazing. Just try not to let that skew your yeah. decision to watch it or not.
I saw a lot of people on Twitter advocating for that. They're like, don't let this affect your yeah. opinion of it. Go see it anyways, because it's supporting these kind of films that will help make more of them. Be like, no, box office numbers are good. See, look, these films get people to the theaters. We shouldn't not continue making them, kind of a thing.
Yeah. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, I was going to say, it didn't bug me that much as well, because I read how involved John Lasseter actually was, and he wasn't that involved, particularly with this film. He has been involved with other films such as Toy Story and, like, the Rise of Pixar, which is a little heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to hear.
Mm-hmm.
But for those who get the bigger picture of what this film means, I don't think it would deter them from watching this film at all.
Mm-hmm.
As Neil says, Lasseter damaged people's lives. We should let him damage a culture's representation.
We shouldn't.
By that I mean, go see it.
Shouldn't. Yeah, I think that's a typo.
I was like, wait, what? Yeah.
I know I was talking to a friend of mine today just about Fantastic Beasts 2, and she had said, like, you know, I'm not going to see, at least in the theater.
Because of Johnny Depp?
Yeah, of Johnny Depp. I'm not going to see that film in the theater. Or like Murder on the Orient Express, she wasn't going to see it because Johnny Depp is in it. Spoiler, he's not in it that much, but still enough that it'd be like, no, just still not going to do it. So.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Neil goes, whoops, typo.
Hashtag egg face.
Yeah. I saw Coco. I really did enjoy it. I'm not quite the, like, I love it scale, but I totally understand people connecting to it differently. Like, I don't know if I necessarily loved Moana more. They're different. They have different ways that can connect to the films. Absolutely visually beautiful. I agree. The songs are wonderful. The story is so great, heartwarming. I didn't cry as much as I thought I would. I was like, oh, I'm going to cry so much going into this movie. But I didn't. The Frozen short beforehand is too long, I will say.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess the origins of that is supposed to be a TV special that ended up now being, because it's 21 minutes for that, so it is the length of a...
It was too long for a pre-movie short.
It was, and for whatever reason, Disney said it, and it was either that, you know, Disney put a short in front of a Pixar film as opposed to Pixar doing a short.
And yeah, I normally love the... I look forward to the creative shorts mm-hmm. beforehand, so this, I was a little bit like, eh. For me, the Frozen had some elements that were almost more sad at the end compared to Coco, because it's family and tradition. So then that was in a different way. So, but in Coco, it was the, yeah, like the reprise of Remember Me Later. That was a good, like.
Oh, stop. Yeah. Yeah.
I do recommend it, and a lot of theaters in my area have been sold out, so I'm glad it's doing mm-hmm. well.
Yeah, no, it was good. I mean, certainly there is a twist in the film where you guys...
Which, don't say that!
No.
I went in, and somebody said that, and I'm waiting for it the whole time, and then, like, there's one other thing, and then that thing, and... Don't say that.
Don't say it. Were you guys caught unaware by the plot developments?
Yeah.
No. I was.
Yeah.
Totally fell into it.
Yeah. No.
Didn't even think. I wasn't really thinking too much about it, though. But, yeah. It was pretty shocking. My friend looked at me and was like, seriously? And I was like, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I was. Yeah. Someone told me ahead of time, like, well, there's a twist. And so the whole time I'm like, so what's the twist? Oh, my goodness. And then something does happen. I'm like, oh, maybe that's it. And then it's like something else. I'm like, oh, yeah, whatever. I was not surprised.
Go ahead.
Well, were you surprised?
No.
No.
Yeah, I feel like if you watch enough movies with certain tips, you're like, okay, well, I'm not getting the full information at some point. So yes. I feel like I'm going to see it at another point. Jonathan Peck there in the chat, he's curious to see how it's going to do everything with the Lasseter situation will affect Incredibles 2
mm-hmm.
And the future of Pixar. I think Incredibles 2, I don't think of that – certainly it's a Pixar film, but I also think of that more as a Brad Bird production, first and foremost,
yeah.
before I even think about John Lasseter. Yeah. So for at least me personally, it's not going to affect that at all. I'm all in for Incredibles 2.
Hal in the chat said, and the colors, colors are great. Love that about the movie. Definitely agree. Shows and Short was too long beforehand, especially like with the two-year-old. Yeah, it was, it's one of those, I have nothing against Frozen. It's just one of those, like, this is really long. Especially with the title you already know. Like, it would have been different if this was something brand new, and we'd be like, oh, show me more. I want to know more about this. But if you have family stuff, it's about family, so it's a little sad.
It is just, you know, it's always been nice that with Disney and Pixar that they've kind of, even though they're very compatible, they've also been distinct in the sense where Pixar just kind of does Pixar stuff and Disney does Disney stuff. And this is the first time you've seen like them kind of cross together. And I don't think at least this was not as satisfying as it could have been. So
yeah, true. Well, and also because I think a lot of us, well, everyone pretty much, when you go see a movie, you're like, okay, yeah, I know I'm gonna get the trailers beforehand for like 20 minutes and then I'm gonna see the movie. So we're like, okay, trailers, cool, wait, Frozen, okay, all right, how long is this gonna go? Okay, I love Frozen, but let's wrap it up. So I think at that point we're like, oh, come on, just give us the movie.
I legit had like 40 minutes of pre-showings and also trailers.
Yeah.
Like including in total, including Olaf's short, it was like 40 minutes before the actual Coco started.
Yeah.
Because I was at an AMC and they usually have a lot of trailers, like a ridiculous amount. But
Did your guys' theaters have a lot of cool decorations? Mine had them all over the place, everywhere in mine. Like everything was Coco decorated. When I'm like, this is awesome. I was like, that's advertising campaign.
What theater was that?
I'll tell you guys after. I don't need to. Like, this is where I live. Come on, we all hold our tickets with our name, our thumbs, and stuff over the location. But some theaters, I think, are. I mean, I don't know if this was like actually that. I'm curious if it was the local theater initiative to do the decorations, or if they were given any. Because some of them look more like handmade. Like they had flowers with like little skulls, and they had a whole thing on what Day of the Dead means. They had hand cut out cardboards of like skulls and painted them. I was like, this is really cool.
Just speaking of the Pixar, always kind of really just leaps and bounds in every film. They always have some kind of advancement there in animation. And there's just this one scene in there towards the really beginning of the film where you see Miguel's face and you get up close and you can just see the wisps of hair.
Oh my gosh,
on the side of his face. That was just like just a nice touch, but it was just like, man, just so nicely realized.
Mm-hmm. Also, at the end, the last 15 minutes, that's when the heavy bawling really started to happen. I heard people around me just like... And that's really... I mean, I've been to the movies since my first movie out, like, in theaters. I was 4, and it was Space Jam. So I've been going to the movies for a long time, and I've never heard people sobbing right next to me, not even with Inside Out.
Not even with Space Jam? You didn't hear people
sobbing next to you? Not even with Space Jam. How crazy, right? But, I mean, I know there's plenty of movies I haven't seen in theaters. But, yeah, that was also a nice experience.
I don't think many people cried at mine. Ours was pretty full, though. It was fun having the kids. At first, I was like, oh, there's a lot of kids.
My theater lit up at a certain scene at the very end, where it's like coming to a close, but they put someone's picture up.
Yeah.
Oh my god! You heard everyone just go, "Oh!" Like community wide, like the whole theater just the same reaction. It was really great.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that.
Everyone's loving the animation, and how much detail was put into this? Actually, there's a short. Did you guys have this before yours, where they broke down the layers? Oh, they have a bit where they break down, like, just the city, the first city shot, how many layers are in that, and how they made it. I'm like, wow.
It's impressive.
So much detail.
Ugh.
Surprisingly, other films came out were at the box office this weekend.
Yes.
Nothing really came out, but were there, including Justice League.
I saw that.
Again, from Warner Brothers. Dropped 56.6%, making $40.7 million over the weekend. So, yes, Carrie Lane, not just saw Justice League.
Yeah, I rented Batman versus Superman as well, watched that early this afternoon, and went over Justice League. And the funny thing is, the first theater I went to, they were sold out of Justice League. It was a smaller theater, but still, I was like...
It sat like 5 people.
No. But it's not with a big one, so I was like, oh, crap. So then I drove 10 minutes to another theater and saw I was able to get into that one. I'm like, what seats do you have available? And I'm like, all right, those are good. I'll take that. I didn't hate Batman vs. Superman. Everyone's just like, oh my gosh, it's so bad. I'm like, it's fine. It's fun. It is long, but I wasn't. The only thing I'm really annoyed about how, like, Batman and Superman, when they have their first confrontation, Superman tells him, like, the reasoning once of, like, hey, I'm here because of this is happening, and never brings up the point till, like, the end of the fight. And I'm like, they're words. They help you communicate. I would have said it, like, a few more times, be like, Batman, no, you need to listen to me. Like, this is what's going on. So that was just really dumb. I'm like, oh, guys, they just have to do a fist fight. They're not going to use words to communicate. I was just so annoyed with that. That was dumb. And then Justice League, I did like it. I saw many of your wonderful and colorful comments from last week's video. And so now I'm happy to say I did see it and I did like it. I like Justice League. So one person on this panel was excited about it. You were in the middle.
It was very much of a meh movie.
Meh. Okay. I liked it. So out of our four, we got one at least, guys. I know a lot of you were very upset. lots of faces. Someone said, Martha, I did see a joke about that ahead of time. And then I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, well, Neil, you had a lot of complaints, though. Neil's like, I liked it, but Neil had a lot of complaints. You did. You broke it down. But with having everyone's complaints going into it, I had those thinking about it. And then I was like, there's only really one booty shot with Wonder Woman that I was like, well, that was kind of unnecessary, is when she's fighting in, like, the parliament and she, like, skids across the floor. And I remember her having more, like, booty shorts, not, like, bikini bottoms. So then it was, like, definitely, like, cheeks. So I was like, oh, okay. The other shots was purely the camera was low, so whatever. I can. And then people were defending. They're like, well, wait, what about all the guys shirtless? There's a scene later with a character who... I'm like, I guess it's been out long enough, but whatever. No, actually, I really like Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor. He was so weird, and I like that, though. He was so bizarre, and I was like, I like the commitment to how weird he is. I know, but I was like, he's a weirdo. Okay, guys, it's been out for a little while. Surprise, Superman comes back. He's on the posters. But the scene where he comes back, I was like, so he had a shirt and a blazer and pants. And suddenly, magically, the shirt and blazer, so two layers disappear, but he just has pants on. That felt unnecessary of, like, why do we have his shirt off right now? I want the pants off, too, then, of, like, it made no sense that you got rid of two layers, but the one layer stayed. Convenient is what I would say.
So he should have been just doing that scene, like, in his boxers or his...
I would have wanted just the shirt. The shirt and the pants would have been fine. Like, it was weird to have just the pants and have him randomly shirtless, like... Aquaman shirtless going in the water, that's fine. Like, it's the items because he takes off a jacket and, you know, another layer. Fine, whatever. But, yeah, Superman later, I'm like, why is he shirtless right now? It felt like that was a fanfare for people who want to see that. But otherwise, yes, I thought it was fun. Yeah, the bad guy being totally CGI was like, Like, his face didn't move right enough. The Flash, so funny. He's hilarious. He was so funny. a lot of people were hating Eisenberg as Lex. I know, but yeah, I thought it was fun. I don't necessarily think the booty shots is unnoticeable. No, I noticed because there's a moment. Someone's like, if he was full naked. No, but it just doesn't make sense. They're like, wait, a jacket and a shirt are gone, but the pants stayed. It's like two layers. Anyways. For people listening, I did a whatever gesture. Flash was super funny. Cyborg was fine. He doesn't necessarily get a whole lot, but I thought he was interesting. I was fine with him. Like, he can't be a badass right away. He's still learning. That's fine.
But
it's like, no.
I mean, in Carrie's defense, it has been scientifically proven that shirts and jackets are the least reliable articles of
clothing. Apparently, yes. Your pants will stay, yeah. But your blazer and your shirt. The CGI on his lip wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. But I was staring at that. The shirt should have been there and just tattered. Like, it was weird to be there. What else?
Howell's Hollywood Review that I really hope that we get another Man of Steel movie. Cavill is such a great Superman.
I do like him as Superman. He's great.
He's better when he gets more fun stuff to play, like he did at least in the brief amount that he's in Justice League. So I would love to see another Man of Steel movie kind of following up in that direction. That'd be great to see.
And hey, everybody can have reactions to what I'm saying, so it's absolutely fine if she's making faces. Doesn't have to agree with me. Then what was it? So then we had the discussion, and then sorry, some of this we talked about last week, but if some of you missed it, the Amazons having the midriff, there was a scene where they're showing strength, and it's like, damn, these women have abs. And I was like, all I could think of was like, they look so strong and powerful. So I didn't care that it was a midriff, but then there is a battle scene, and I'd say 90% of the women have full, and so it was weird to have the midriff that I'm like, well, if you're all ready for battle at all times, why? Okay, fine. Like, you get the one shot of them looking strong because they all have, like, their eight packs kind of thing. It's sort of like, rah, holding stuff. But other than that, I'm like, whatever. And it is kind of short. Wasn't it almost Nikki Karen Justice? No. Superman is probably the most. No, their abs looked real, man. As they, like, you could see the flex of as they're doing things, whatever. Anyway, I thought it was really fun. I don't understand all the hating on it. I do, yeah, the villain is kind of weak. Also, you don't really know enough about him, so it's kind of like, mm-hmm. I am evil, destroy stuff. Like, that's the only thing you get. So you're like, all right. Interactions between characters, super fun. So enough that I enjoyed it. It was all cool. Right. I definitely thought it was fun.
Coming to number three at the box office, yes, Amy?
Oh, no,
she saw this one, so she's
excited. I'm excited.
Right. We've got Wonder from Lionsgate, $22.3 million there, holding up really strong. Only had a 19% drop from its first week.
My mom saw it and liked it.
Amy's seen it. Anyway, we'll pass on to number four in our box. Yes.
What I have to say about it is that it was wonderful. Just for you guys. Yeah, it was nice. At the end, it did feel like the last act felt like it dragged a little bit. I did cry.
Okay. Oh,
Jesus.
Adelia says Wonder is amazeballs.
Yeah. It was really nice. And I love these kinds of movies around this time of the year where you just feel like you learn more about yourself and life and just appreciate things more because people have it way harder than we do. And I don't know. It's one of those movies that it's good to watch. Like, if you've seen all the other movies, go watch this one. Or if you want something that's, like, a little bit of a breath of fresh air, also watch this one. It made me realize that I really miss Julia Roberts. And Owen Wilson and Julia Roberts together actually kind of work. It's not as weird. There is something that happens in the movie that I still cannot get over. There was no point to it. You will see when you see it, what I'm talking about it about. But it's worth watching. It was really sweet. The cosmetic things that they did to Jacob Tremblay,
prosthetics.
Yeah, prosthetics. There we go. They're actually really good, and he did a good job acting through that because he's a kid, and so he's really only able to act through his eyes and then his mouth because, I mean, all of this is just covered up. I'm covering up my face podcast, guys. But, yeah, I mean, he did really well. And then the rest of the cast, the kids, were great. And his sister was really sweet. She actually reminded me of my cousin. So I was like, oh, my God, this is really nice. And, yeah, it was really, really nice. Definitely worth watching. And, yeah, if you guys in the chat have seen it, let us know what you think.
Most people liked it.
Yeah, amazeballs. Yep.
I want to know by Zias, not one, not per Wonder, but how was the star?
Oh yeah,
said they saw a star.
Whoa,
interesting.
How was that? Oh, okay. Adelia said Julia Roberts was so great in Wonder. I know what you were talking about in the movie, right? Okay, and it was thematic with that, what the family was going through. Yeah, but was it really necessary? Like, I cried. I cried Howl's a little
Hollywood
too much.
Said it didn't need to be there.
Thank you. I agree. But, I mean, hey, they got more tears out of me. So if that's what they wanted, they got them. And even at the end, with Julia Roberts, the way that she looks at Augie, the main character, it reminded me of my mom a lot. And I was like, ooh, ooh, ooh. So lots of crying at theaters, but lots of learning and just enjoying myself.
Oh, very
it's
nice.
Great. It's yeah. Great.
Thanks, Zias, for the port. Star was okay. I mean, your typical animated film you take your kids to watch. Okay. Oof. That's what I expected. I'm like, it looks like cute.
Yeah.
Zaya's already better man than I am. Maybe catch it later. I would not take a kid to watch that movie. You're better than me, Zaya. You're better.
I did realize because Wonder was sold out when I went to... The Cursed Child. Really?
Somebody in the chat says, weirdly enough, that one of the writers from Wonder wrote The Cursed Child. Jonathan, cool. Thank you.
But yeah, I was noticing that Wonder was sold out. It was like 7:20. Yeah. So I went at... Wait, this is important because I have all the stuff on my...
She's keeping the tickets. It's cute.
On my phone. Whatever, it was late. Oh, 10:35. So it's worth a watch because people were obviously, you know, packing the theaters for it. And what was it? So it was Wonder was selling out. Coco was selling out. There weren't that many showings of Justice League, but I think maybe one of those was sold out. But lots of Coco showings for sure.
Jumping ahead, number five this week was Daddy's Home 2, and Zayas said that he also saw Daddy's Home 2 and can see why people hated it, but laughed most of the time.
Well, that's our fifth on the list.
Yeah, that 13.2 million. I think it started about like the weekend that when I saw it. It's just like the Will Ferrell, just like the blundering guy that just kind of gets into these accidents constantly. Just a little of that went a long way with me. But number four, before that though, Thor Ragnarok, another $16.79 million that it added to it. So doing very well for itself. Now, internationally, guys. Justly, it crossed $300 million at the international box office, basically getting up to $309.8 million after 2 weeks. This was this, of course, 72.2 million session was down from 61% from its opening weekend. It was playing in about 31,450 screens in 66 markets, and combined with domestic, it now has a worldwide total of $481.3 million. So now we also have Coco, of course, that's been strumming all around Mexico for a couple of weeks, becoming the biggest movie there ever. But it also opened up here this week in the U.S., as well as in China, Russia, and elsewhere. And in China, it estimated an $18.2 million opening for the second highest launch ever for a Disney and or Pixar animated title, coming behind only Zootopia last year. So the total this weekend was $30.7 million in 22 markets for an international total of $82.2 million and a worldwide total of $153.4 million. And as I mentioned briefly, Thor Ragnarok, it's crossed over $500 million at the overseas box office and passed Guardians of the Galaxy to become the number seven global release ever for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The weekend was worth $111 million in 56 markets for an offshore total of $512.6 million and a worldwide total of $790.1 million. And Murder on the Orient Express tracked over $100 million. And Paramount's Daddy's Home 2 came to be number one in the UK market.
Wow.
Look at that. Come on, Brits. You're better than that. You have much better comedy out there than Daddy's Home 2. Come on. But yeah, that was our the international news for that. Now, we had a lovely moment there where Amy Cassandra talked all about Julia Roberts and Wonder, but she also saw another Julia Roberts film this past weekend to share her thoughts about. Mm-hmm. So for a little retro movie moment, Amy Cassandra, what have you seen?
I finally saw Larry Crown. So
Finally. Oh, where have you been?
I know.
I've never seen it.
So here's the thing, and I kind of felt the same thing with Wonder, where I was like, I'm not sure how much I'm going to like it. And I love when movies like that surprise you. So Larry Crown, I really only wanted to watch it because of Tom Hanks. I love Tom Hanks. Who doesn't, right?
Carrie shrugged at that. There's like, yes. No. I mean, all right.
Gotta get a reaction from that.
Out of you.
Yeah.
Can you think of a Tom Hanks film that you've come back kind of like, that you've not really enjoyed him in?
Not off the top of my head.
I think generally
I've enjoyed them, but I'm not like, oh my gosh, bestest ever.
There's the one Coen's brother movie that he did where some people kind of
Lady Killers, I know you were like, but I remember liking that one. Okay. I mean, it's been so long that I couldn't tell you, like, I just remember not hating it.
Got it.
All
right.
See, it's one of, two of my life's goals are to watch all Tom Hanks movies and all Meryl Streep movies.
That's one of your life's...
I mean, there's a lot of goals, guys. There's a lot, but...
There's not that many movies. You'll get it pretty quick. Hanks in the Terminal. Terminal was good, too.
Oh, The Terminal. Okay, getting back on track. Yes, Larry Crown was very sweet. It was... it's interesting to see Tom Hanks with different hair. So it was a little weird. And then not halfway, but a fourth of the way into the movie, he gets a haircut. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. His outfits change. He becomes a little more stylish. And it's really just about going back to school and doing more with his life, which is really cool. And it's been out for a while, guys. So if you haven't seen it, make sure to watch it. It's on Netflix.
Do you feel like he's like one of those actors that I feel like, I don't know if this is true, but it seems like he's one of the actors that in a lot of his films, attention will be paid to his hair. Because in terms of, I was thinking like for the original The Da Vinci Code, people talked about the hair. That was all. It was all about the hair in that movie.
Well, my problem with Da Vinci Code is I read the book and I was like, I pictured someone a little more Harrison Ford-y Indiana Jones looking because he's supposed to be very handsome. He's described, or at least
what are you trying to say?
Tom Hanks is handsome. Don't get me wrong, but he's not like.
Like, dang.
He's not the right away. I'd say Harrison Ford is more. But he is charming, and that character is supposed to be very charming, that he's able to get ahead in a lot of things because he's able to, you know, use his looks or how he is. So that was one where I was like, eh, but it wasn't his hair that I was like, meh.
Yeah, I mean.
There it is. I'm looking up. I'm like, which one is Larry Crown?
2011 is when it came out. It's been a while.
Now, the movie's fine, but then at the end where it takes that bonkers left turn for like the credits where they hop on the scooter together.
Oh. That's the picture for the cover.
It is so weird. I'm like, what is this?
No, but see, the biggest thing of the movie is that they go. They drive around in Burbank, and I go through Burbank, like, every single day. And they pass by Frank's restaurant. I didn't know you had a restaurant.
Named after me.
Yeah. Yep. And so my biggest thing was like, oh, my God, I pass by that place all the time. I have to go and stop. And I did the next day. And in the movie, it's, like, a big deal. He talks about, well, in one of the classes, so it's Julie Roberts. She's talking about, like, speeches. So that's what they do in that class. It's a speech class. And you see them from the beginning to the end of the course. They speak so eloquently at the end that I'm like, I wish I could take her class. But yeah, so then Tom Hanks is talking about French toast. So it's a big deal in the movie. And I got French toast. It was pretty good. But I wanted to be at Frank's restaurant because I was like, hey, it's like Tom Hanks and Julie Roberts. Whatever, I'm a nerd. But
Where did you make sure you sat while you were at Frank's restaurant?
Exactly where Julia Roberts sat in the movie. It's like she was right here. Just know, guys, if you live in the Burbank area or really anywhere in L.A. and you want to go and visit, know that they close at 3. I did not look
beforehand. So they have breakfast, lunch place.
Yeah.
What time did you get there? Like 2:55?
Or Justin's league joke, it's a brunch place. No? Oh, that was so funny in the movie, too. I know.
But brunch is, like, it's brunch.
Yeah, that somebody was so, like, confused about the concept of brunch was amazing to me.
Oh, yeah.
And who's confused by what brunch is?
It's funny.
Is it flash day? Because I don't remember.
Then I have Lunner a lot, too, or, you know, it's lunch, dinner.
I thought it was Linner.
Linner? One of those.
Linner. Anyway.
He makes very good points about brunch, and so I thought that was funny. Apparently, you haven't waited an hour to go to brunch.
Well,
or haven't gone to brunch enough.
That's right. I guess I haven't gone to brunch in the longest time.
Brunch is fun.
We need to do it. We'll do a box office breakdown on brunch.
Brunch. All right.
B.O.B.
Bottomless mimosas. Come on, guys. You didn't even bring that up. That's funny to joke about. Anyway.
God, I want brunch now. But yeah.
Linner.
Linner. But yeah. Larry Crown, worth a watch on Netflix. Watch and then have French toast or something.
All right.
But yeah, I'm a fan. It was good.
Okay. So, of course, folks, as I mentioned at the top of the show, there aren't any new releases coming up this week. We're box office bet free. We'll be back, of course, next week with our regular scheduled bet. But what we'll do in the meantime is at least we'll do our top five predictions for next week. Nothing new joining the ranks, so we just basically have our five as they are right now.
So does that mean you guys, Neil and Amy, win for Coco predictions because you guys both said 79 and it was like closer to 75? Well, I mean it's the fourth.
Well,
you said it was
the
5-day, 4-day. But that means you guys won because you were the lowest bet.
There you go.
Frank and I went very
high. Yay! Fist bump.
Look at that. Neil and Amy, the winners of the box office bet. We'll be back, of course, in 2 weeks to find out who the winner of the next box office bet will be. But in the meantime, we'll do our little quick recap of what we think the next top next week's top five will be. Again, we've got Coco, Justice League, Wonder, Thor Ragnarok, and Daddy's Home 2.
But nothing's coming out?
Nothing's coming out. So it's a quiet week. So look at that. You know, people are just taking a little nap.
I think
even
it's
the studios.
Gonna stay the same. Ditto. I think it's just going to stay the same.
Yeah, I can't. Well,
I want more people to see Wonder.
It'll be interesting because Wonder's got it has a low drop off. It's got some nice staying power. Could you see an instance where Justice League drops and Wonder holds a little higher, and Justice League slips underneath Wonder?
Maybe just because Justice League's been out long enough. Hollywood Howl agrees. We'll stay put. I'm gonna say it stays the same.
Well, I'm going to play devil's advocate then and say that Justice League and Wonder switched just because there were a lot of sold-out showings of Wonder. Not that
and
many
Justice League's already been out for a while.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go with Amy. Just like, hey, it'd be nice to see if Wonder can just be the little movie that could.
I'm going to say the same. Zaya says the same. There's a few of you guys in chat.
Yeah. No, I could easily see it saying the same, but, you know, just the optimist in me would love to see Wonder.
Sure.
Augie would like that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Amy.
You're welcome.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this week on Box Office Breakdown. Look at that. Sorry, it was a little weird, truncated version of the show.
It's all good. We talked about movies. Some of you who were freaking out about Justice League opinions last week, don't worry. We had you this week. Hope you feel better. And I'm only saying that because there were some of you that I'm like, calm down.
Hey, what are some movies?
Calm down.
What are some movies you guys are looking forward to watching?
The Greatest Show on Earth.
Jedi.
Oh, really? I was looking to watch Lady Bird and Call Me by Your Name.
People are talking about that in the chat
and
room.
And also The Shape of Water. I'm so
excited. Shape of Water.
Wrinkle in Time.
I actually just went and got the book for that.
I'm okay.
Come on, Greatest Show on Earth looks fun.
Yeah.
You, Frank?
I mean, I guess I'll go Last Jedi.
Yeah.
But I'm not as crazy about that as I was probably with Force Awakens.
Right.
But I'm trusting Rian Johnson. The fact that they gave him his own trilogy to work on after this speaks highly for what Lucasfilm thinks about the movie. But I also feel like, I just need to see the movie because I feel like Force Awakens, I was so jazzed and it basically just got like a retread of A New Hope. So all right, I'll just wait. I expect to go into Last Jedi maybe going to be blown away because it's going to be better than what I'm expecting it to be. Rian Johnson has said it's not just a retread. It is, we're pushing the story forward. So I'm excited to see where it goes.
Anthony, what was the one that was quiet? The new trailer for that one where people aren't talking.
Oh, A Quiet Place.
That looks good.
With John Krasinski and Emily Blunt, I believe.
That looks exciting.
It looks like a new horror thriller. Yes. Kind of like a It Came at Night kind of feel to it as well. If you guys caught that this year, It Came at Night, it was pretty, it looks like the very similar vibes.
Similar vibe.
A family in the woods hiding from something that we don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm. And why they don't just leave.
Yeah, exactly. Because in this one, it looks like they're like three clawed creatures that sound very vicious and animalistic. While in A Quiet Place, it was some sort of virus that was contaminating the earth. And so they had to stay outside of major populations in order to survive. Definitely a movie I'm personally looking forward to as a horror fan. But more than anything, really, The Shape of Water has taken my heart over Star Wars, to believe it or not. I'm more looking forward to Guillermo del Toro because I personally love him, and he's a huge inspiration to me.
Did anybody see the Roman J. Israel?
No. I did not see it, but how was Hollywood Review saw it? I know he liked it. I don't know. I've heard various different things on it.
You know, another one, Jonathan Peck, reminded me of it, The Post.
A lot of people were talking about that.
That may be interesting. Well, of course, it's got your two together in one film.
And Steven Spielberg. My cat is named after Steven Spielberg.
That's going to be an easy film for you to...
Easy.
You're
people are excited for Disaster Artist.
Oh, true. Yeah. Which one? Downsized or Downsizing?
Downsizing. That maybe really that trailer looks interesting.
Yeah, it does.
Curious.
Yeah, Matt Damon needs a win after Suburbicon. So.
Well, this one looks really... It's the trailer for Downsizing. I'm like, this looks really weird and quirky, and it's totally going to work, or it's not. It's going to be one of those movies where you're going to be like, yes, or
It's definitely like an existential, philosophical kind of theme movie.
Adelia in the chat says Roman J. Israel is a great character. I wish he had he was in a slightly better edited, so the editing didn't like that in the movie as much.
Mm-hmm. Also, if you guys weren't thinking about it, I would highly recommend Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri.
Everybody was talking about that one too.
Good. It's really good. I could see it as a Oscar contender, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I need to get to my like little theater, because some of these I'm like, they're not at my bigger theaters, but they'll be at the smaller ones.
The joys of having a movie pass.
I know. And you know it's kind of cool? You can go back and look at what you've used it on already. So you can kind of be like, am I getting my money value? And yes, you are. Though, warning, just so you guys know, because definitely not sponsored by MoviePass or anything, but I'll let you know, went today. So if you check into your movie, so I was there, check in, and it goes sold out. If you leave your check-in page, it is very difficult to get back to it, or nearly impossible to get back to it, that we had to like contact them and be like, I need to cancel it to go to a different theater. So if you're at a movie theater and you have movie pass, go to your check-in page, leave it on that red screen check-in page until you pay for it. Because it's, you can't, if you leave that page, you can't cancel it. There's not really a button to be like, change.
Yeah. Well, at the bottom, if, so I've checked in the past and then.
No, but if that screen goes away, you can't go back to it.
Yeah. But you can go at the bottom. Say,
yeah, that's what I mean. Leave that page open.
Like, hit that right away.
If you're there, leave that page open, and then there's a little button that's like a refresh and change. But just forewarning, don't leave the like red screen if you were changing for any reason at your theater. Just so y'all know.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. But we'll be back next week. Hopefully, Neil Plumley, his life-crippling illness will have left his body, and he'll be back here in person so we can see his face in addition to reading his lovely words. But as always, folks, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Throw in a bunch of thumbs while you're there. And, of course, if you're watching the show after we've streamed live, feel free to comment down below, right there where Carolyn's pointing. Carolyn, what is a question you'd like them to answer in the comments?
Favorite Thanksgiving food, since we just had Thanksgiving. I know it's, you know, we do movie ones. But this time, favorite Thanksgiving food, one item.
That's
pick
it.
Pick one. Yeah. Just pick one.
I feel like that's aimed at Star Drew. Just pick one food. Don't give
unless
us two.
It's a combo. Like if it's turkey and cranberry sauce, that's a pass. That's okay.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh. So like mashed potatoes and gravy.
That's okay. Okay. Yeah.
All right. And folks, if you want to continue the conversation with us even after the show's over, Amy, Cassandra, where can they find you?
On all social media, you guys can find me at Amy Cassandra TV, and don't forget to enter my giveaway.
Free stuff, guys.
Free lip scents, guys. Okay. Like, it's free, so you can get your lady friend or whoever, really.
If you want to wear it, too. No judgment.
It's totally free, guys. And it lasts forever. Yep. So I'm wearing Fly Girl right now, just to let you guys know. And I will start to watch all holiday movies, so if you have any recommendations, please tweet them at me or just, I don't know, comment on my Instagram post or something.
My name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
Folks, don't even bother entering Amy Cassandra's contest. I'm going to win it. I'm going to win it.
Oh, wow. So,
no, stop.
Guys, it's
no,
on me. Boom, it's on me. It's on me. Are you going to be starting with Silent Night, Deadly Night for your Hollywood movie? Watch them? All right.
Sure. We got some horror ones. We'll tell you.
I will watch whatever Christmas I can.
Ones. All right.
Yeah, I'm
excited. Ladies and gentlemen, feel free to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Happy Go Jackie. We'll see you back here next Sunday night for another episode of Box Office Breakdown. Until then, go see a bunch of movies, folks.
Wonder!
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.